Good morning. Go ahead and grab your Bibles or power them on and open up to Proverbs chapter 13. This is where our key verse will be found today. If you are using the church Bibles, it's going to be in page 360. So just a couple weeks ago, we began a series entitled Big Faith, How to Have Absolute Confidence God is with You. We started this series by asking you to imagine with us what life would be like if you lived with a fuller, more solid faith and trust that God was with you. What if you truly believed that everything that came your way could serve a purpose in God's divine plan for you, if not initially, then eventually? Imagine how your anxiety about the present and even the future would begin to go away. I mean, what if you really believed that God was for you and that He was truly working all things for your good and that His desires for you are pure? What if, when faced with temptation, you fully trusted God to bring you through it? See, at the root of every problem we face is a lack of trust in God. Through this series, we have been learning and will continue to learn of what it means to have a deep trust and big faith in God. More specifically, we are discussing the things that God will use in our lives to establish big faith in our lives. We started with five things, and we are working our way through them each week. So let's just review. Five things God uses to build or increase our faith. Number one, practical teaching. Practical teaching shows us where we are and where we need to go. Secondly, wholesome relationships. These allow us to hear from God through others. The personal spiritual disciplines tune our hearts to God's heart. And then, of course, servant ministry challenges us or enables us rather to experience God's power. And then last but not least, challenging circumstances force us to look at God. And so last week, we discussed how God uses practical teaching to increase our faith. Pastor Holly reminded us about Jesus' teaching of the man who built his house on the rock and how it wasn't firm because of its information and knowledge, but application and practice. This is why it is key for us to learn from Scripture with the intent of using it in both knowledge and practice. This week, we will discuss how God uses wholesome relationships to increase our faith. And appropriately enough, they asked me to give this talk. I'm an extroverted, relationship-oriented type of guy. And if I'm allowed to have a favorite from our list of five, surely this would be the one. But even if you are an introvert who is really just thriving in this online church season, I know God has deeply within, even to the biological level, created you to have community in relationships. We see all throughout Scripture how God uses people to build the faith of other people. Many of your own stories testify to this reality. One day I was going this direction, and then God brought this person into my life, and because of that person's love and faithfulness to God and to myself, I now have a personal relationship with Jesus. Does that sound familiar to you? So who was it for you? Who was it for you? Was it your boyfriend or your girlfriend or perhaps that professor at college, your high school football coach? Or maybe it was that annoying pastor who always wanted to sit at your table while you were a waitress. Perhaps it was your brother or your sister or a neighbor who just kept leaving those church invite cards at your doorstep. Many of you, as I'm speaking, are having specific people come to mind. And you likely feel as though it must have been God who brought that person into your life. For me, there were many. My neighbors who brought my sister and I to youth group, my sixth grade teacher who invited me to her church, my senior pastor who spent countless hours pouring into me, and of course my mentor slash professor who would meet me for coffee every week in college, and it was just incredible. So the reality is, the idea of God bringing people into our life so that we might better love him and serve his purpose is something we find all the way back in the very, very beginning. A long, long time ago, there was nothing except God. He sovereignly created a whole lot of stuff, and at the end of each day and or time period, he would deem his creation as good. And then he created humans, his image bearers for the world, and he would further deem it very good. But then God noticed something, as if God could notice, but God noticed something, just one thing, that was not so good. Let's see what God said was not good. In Genesis 2:18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone.'" So at the very beginning, before the serpent and the fruit and everything else we read about afterward, God noticed how his people were going to really need other people if they were going to live life his way. We think this is a marriage verse, and you probably have it at the bottom of your little marriage photo frame and everything. And believe me, I know God fully believes in holy marriage. But this verse is about having a helper to help you serve God's purpose and doing that together. There are a few themes that we see highlighted throughout the biblical canon as much as relationships. And though we can all think of relationships that God has used to direct our faith toward him, we probably can also think of unhealthy, very fleshly relationships that have unfortunately driven us farther from God and his good plan for us. Relationships hold significant influence in our life, both good and bad. Maybe you think of the college friends who made you constantly, or who brought you constantly into that toxic environment. I can think of a friend in fifth grade who I kind of wish I never met because of some of the things that he had introduced me to. For you, maybe it was that boss that convinced you that you needed to work on Sundays and miss church, or perhaps it was that one unbelieving friend who led you to stop believing. Or maybe it was that one person who really betrayed you, stabbed you in the back, and now you are scared to trust other people or perhaps even trust God himself. Relationships hold a lot of weight in our lives. And depending on the depth of them, they can really change the trajectory of our lives, both positively and negatively. But this isn't my idea. This is something that King Solomon wrote about in the book of Proverbs many, many years ago. Solomon had many things to say about relationships, but let's just look at one thing that he says here in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Wait, am I telling you that the whole idea of show me your friends and I'll show you your future thing is biblical? Of course I am. Be careful to note that when Solomon references the wise, he is referencing those who walk in the wisdom of God, not the usual wisdom that you might find in our current society. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and outside of that, not on that firm foundation, is much foolishness. And so essentially what Solomon is saying is this: walk with the godly and become godly. Walk with the ungodly and suffer harm. That's the MHT, the Matt Horn translation. Is it harm that God brings on you? I don't tend to think so. Notice this scripture, as many other scriptures are also, is more observational than anything. God doesn't say, "I will send harm on you," but rather, "There will be harm." It's natural. And many of us have experienced this kind of stuff in our lives pretty naturally. In this proverb and many other of the proverbs, we read how our relationships and the people we surround ourselves with will either help us to flourish or to flop. And be sure that your community is helping you to flourish in loving and following Jesus. Am I asking you to abandon all of your unbelieving friends? Stay tuned for the action steps at the end. King Solomon, one of the wisest men in history, also wrote this proverb, which says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." And so he uses the illustration of the iron to also contrast, in a sense, the way in which men and women sharpen other men and women. God will often place other men and women in our life to increase your faith and to ultimately make you a greater instrument in his hand. And sometimes you may find friction in those relationships, but remember, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so there's really so much more that I could say, but to end our time together, I want to provide you with some action steps. Of course, this is appropriate as last week we talked about practical teaching. And so the first of the action steps is this: invest yourself into building godly relationships. And this will require that you look at these relationships not only as a means by which you can get something, but that you can bring something to it. Just as God would like to use other people to increase your faith, he would also like to use you to increase the faith of other people. So devote your life to being used by God. Positioning yourself that way will bring you nothing except lots of joy. So how do you do this? How do you invest yourself into building godly relationships? Well, let's look at what the Apostle Peter has to say in 1 Peter 4, another favorite passage of mine in Scripture. This is what he says: "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so Peter says to love one another, for love will cover up the sinful mistakes that one has made against you. Show hospitality and welcome other believers into your home and into your life. My professor, he would say, live an invitational kind of life. Serve other believers by God's strength. Speak God's word over other believers. Not so that they will remember you, but all of this so they may remember God in Christ Jesus, increasing their faith. So that in loving them, they may remember Christ's forgiveness. And in your hospitality, they may remember how Jesus has welcomed them in through the gospel. And in your serving, they might remember his grace. So then, the second action step is this: keep healthy boundaries with unbelievers. This is the part I told you to stay tuned in. Paul instructed the believers at Colossae to walk wisely among unbelievers. You and I both have some level of relationship with an unbeliever, be it family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, etc. I would never instruct you to abandon those relationships, as our relationship by which the gospel changes their lives. All that said, the law of gravity says it's easier to go down than to come up. And when surrounded by unbelievers who do not keep watch over their own sin, be careful, because it would be easy for you to engage. There have been many times where I have been around a gossip and have been tempted to join in the conversation. Perhaps for you, it's an alcoholic friend after you've been clean for 2 years. Or it's the unbelieving friend who talks about his or her sex life around you and you've struggled with lusting your whole life. Do not simply dismiss these relationships, but make sure they have been made verbally aware where you stand on certain things in an effort to honor your Savior. You cannot assume that they know these things, Tell them what you are uncomfortable being a part of, and be sure that they honor that. If you cannot keep within these boundaries, I would say it's very important that you let that person out of your life in a very loving way. And then the third and final action step is this. Leverage your gospel-centered relationships for building the kingdom. Understand that for those brothers and sisters in Christ who God has brought into your life, these are relationships you want to lift up for kingdom work. Work together to bring God's heavenly kingdom here on earth. This is our highest calling. There are many times in the New Testament where we would read the word partnership in place of relationship. And that is the intention that God places behind all of your believing relationships, whether a friend, a family member, a fellow church attendee, and yes, even our marriage was meant to be a partnership for bringing the kingdom down to earth. If you will do this, I can assure you that your faith and trust in God will certainly increase, and perhaps you will even see unbelievers changed because of it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us, God. Thank you for how your Holy Spirit is stirring our hearts through this Big Faith series, Lord. I pray that, Lord, through these different things, practical teaching, wholesome relationships, and all the others that follow, Lord, that you would increase our faith, that you would draw us closer to you, Lord. And Lord, thank you again for the relationships that you have placed in our lives, God, in the past, even now, and Lord, the ones you're going to bring into our life in the future. Lord, I pray that these would be these relationships would be witnesses to your love and your grace. And Lord, just keep us even as we continue in these days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.